Shabbat Shalom. This week's Torah portion is called Emor. It comes from Leviticus, the 21st chapter, verse 1, and expands through the 24th chapter, verse 23. This week's Torah portion, covers several subjects: the priesthood, the sacrifices, and the holidays. It has but one theme that ties it all together, and that's holiness. A holy God demanded holiness from his holy people. A priesthood was chosen by God and was holy, set apart to serve God. The priesthood offered gifts to God and brought back gifts from God for the people. A priest brought the people closer to God and brought God closer to the people. A priest was not to make himself ceremonially unclean by touching a dead person or by even being in the same house with a dead person, except in the case of the death of his father, mother, son, daughter, brother, or his unmarried sister. Because they represented God, priests had a high moral standard. No priest was allowed to marry a prostitute or a divorcee. No daughter of a priest was permitted to live if she became involved in immorality. And because of his high position and the anointing from God, the high priest was held to even higher standards for marriage and for mourning. In addition to the requirements for the regular priests, the high priest had to marry a virgin to assure the nation that the next high priest was truly his son. God always expects more from his leaders because they represented a holy and perfect God. Also, priests were to be without major physical defects. And chapter 22 tells us that the animals the priests offered to this holy God had to be without major physical blemishes. Adonai demands and deserves the very best, and we dare not bring him that which is blemished. The sacrifices point to Messiah, because he is the perfect sacrifice. And so the animals which pointed to him needed to be without defects. The animals that were offered by the priest and then eaten by the priest and their families had to be eaten while they also were ceremonially clean. A holy God had a holy people with a holy priesthood who offered holy sacrifices in a holy place. Chapter 23 tells us that God also gave his people holy days, times of rest and refreshing, of fellowship and worship, times of celebrating and remembering with thanksgiving all that God had done for them. These seven holy days were the Passover, the holiday of unleavened bread, the holiday of first fruits, Shavuot, or Pentecost, the day to blow the shofar, the day of atonement, and Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles. This first holy holiday was Passover. Now, this was a standing testimonial that Israel's salvation was by the blood of the Lamb. And note that Israel's redemption from Egypt was a picture of a far greater deliverance. The slain lamb, the sprinkled blood, pointed to a meeker, purer, and holier victim, Yeshua, our Messiah, whose body was broken and whose blood was spilled so that God would pass over the sins of Jews and Gentiles and rescue us from our spiritual Egypts. The next was the holiday of matzah, or unleavened bread, which coincided with Passover. The Jewish people were to eat unleavened bread and to remember their hasty departure from Egypt. For the believer today, this is a reminder for us to put away sin and leaven and be holy. Redemption must lead us to a purification of ourselves and from the filthy ways and association of this filthy, fallen world. And we should remember always that Messiah is the holy and sinless one who helps us to do the right things so we can become right with God. Now, join with the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread was an additional holiday of first fruit, presenting God the first sheaves of the barley harvest. This taught Israel that it was not the soil, nor the raindrops, the sunbeams, the dew, nor the skills of their agriculturalists that they had to thank for their abundant harvest. Israel had to see past the sower and reaper mentality and see that the three-in-one God was the giver of their bountiful harvest. This holiday of first fruit also had a deeper and more beautiful meaning. Rabbi Paul calls Yeshua the first fruit. Because Messiah is alive, those who become loyal to him will come alive. Not one person will be forgotten. The promise is certain. Because he lives, we shall live also. The next is the holiday of Shavuot, or Pentecost. This day is exactly 50 days after the holiday of first fruits. It thanks God for his provision of the wheat harvest. This day is associated with the law being given, and it is also the holiday on which the Holy Spirit was given. The next is the holiday of the ram's horn. Now, in scriptures, the shofar was blown to warn of danger and of war. This is a time for believers to look deep within their hearts, their souls, and wage war against anything and everything that doesn't line up with the word of God. The next is the Day of Atonement. This was the day for the nation of Israel to get right and to be right with God. And this reminds us to make all things right in our hearts and in our souls. And we would do well to remember that no man will see God without holiness. The final holiday is Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles. It is the final harvest festival, giving thanks to the three-in-one God for the harvest. For us today, it is a reminder of the harvest of humanity, a picture of Messianic Jews and Christians being gathered into God's eternal kingdom. Leviticus 24 also focuses on holiness. The Israelites were to provide olives from which pure olive oil could be made, and this oil was to burn continually in a menorah made of pure gold. Since there was no windows in the tabernacle, it was necessary to have light in the holy place so the priests could see as they ministered before the Lord. The pure gold menorah provided that light. The golden lamp symbolized the word of God, the light that God gives us in this dark world. Those who don't know the Lord can't see the light of the word of God because they lack the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the oil. Messiah is the light, and only through him can we see and appreciate spiritual things. It is sad to say, but many a church has had their light go out because of the blindness and the unfaithfulness of their members. They fail to pray, to worship, to give, or even to allow the Holy Spirit to use them. A holy God served by a holy priesthood in a holy place illuminated by holy light would provide for the needs of his holy people. And this is what the table of pure gold in the tabernacle with its 12 loaves of bread symbolizes. And this same God has also promised to meet our needs as well. Now, Emor ends with the incident of a man blaspheming, saying something bad about God. This man was stoned to death. A holy people cannot use unholy words about a holy God. The theme of this parasha is holiness. God is Kadosh, holy. Holiness must be honored. To defile the holy is dangerous business. It can result in divine judgment. Serving the Lord is not child's play, but extremely serious business. Christians and Messianic Jews are holy ones. We are separated, set apart, and dedicated to serve this same holy God. And it would help us if we understood that positionally, we are already holy because we are joined to the holy Messiah. But God wants our lives to match our position. Unlike the requirements for the Jewish priests, Adonai doesn't demand physical perfections as required by them. Today, the emphasis is on morality and holy living. Our whole mind, body, soul, spirit should be holy, set apart for God and his service. Like the priest of old, let's live sanctified and holy lives so that our spiritual offerings of worship, praise, prayer, and deeds will be acceptable to our holy God. Let's keep ourselves from the pollution of this world. Let's learn to practice the holy word of God. Let's always remember that Messiah Yeshua, the holy Lamb of God, is our righteousness. And may this polluted world see that we are different. And let's all pray that they turn from unrighteousness and onto our good, perfect, and holy God. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom. Thank you.